Turn with me now to 1 Timothy chapter 3. First Timothy 3, let's read verse 16. And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, and received up into glory. That's great. Great is the mystery of godliness. It's a great mystery, and the mystery's great. Great is the mystery of godliness. The mystery is so great, the scripture says, angels desire to look into it. The whole thing. The things that our God has purposed to do, the things that our God has done, those things, this verse of scripture right here says, were seen of angels. They have been seen of angels. Heard of angels. Carried out by angels. And that's going to be the point of view of our message this morning. That's our point of view this morning. We're going to see the mystery of godliness from the point of view of the angels. Now this coming Friday, people all over this world are going to be celebrating what has become a religious holiday. It's called Christmas. And it has been turned into a religious holiday. It did not start out as a religious holiday. Not at all. It was a wicked Roman pagan celebration. That's what it was. But the Catholic Church in Rome attached itself to this celebration to capitalize on it. And they told everybody that the last day of this celebration, which is December the 25th, is Christ's Mass. And the reason that's Christ's Mass is because that's the day that this man Jesus was born. Now, it is not believed that our Lord was born on December the 25th. They did not even believe he was born on December the 25th when they told him that. That's what's recorded in history. You can look it up. They just told everybody that. They just made it up. Some have speculated that our Lord was born in the spring, maybe in the summer. But the truth of the matter is, no one knows when he was born. Could have been on December 25th. I don't know. Nobody knows. It does not matter when he was born. All that matters is that he was born. That's all that matters. That he was born. But if we search the truth and the origin of this time of year, we're going to see that this man Jesus is not the reason for the season. He's not the reason for the season, for everything that's going on. Let it be known that we do not worship this season. That's why we don't have a nativity scene out front. We do not worship this season. This holiday does not affect our worship any more than Valentine's Day does, or any other holiday. Makes no difference. To the true believer, who is looking to Christ, The one who redeemed him with his own blood, the true believer who's totally looking to Christ. A Christmas tree is nothing more than decoration for your living room. That's all it is. It means nothing to me spiritually. Has nothing to do with our worship. Nothing. To a true believer who has all of his hope in Christ, all of his hope in Christ, this season is nothing more than an excuse to be kind. I love Christmas. It's a good reason to be kind. It's a good reason to give gifts. It's a good reason to talk to your neighbor. One time a year, you show up at your neighbor's door, Merry Christmas. Oh, thanks. See you next year. It's a good reason to show love and appreciation and thanks. It's a good reason to come together. Everybody just take a break and let's just get together. It's just nice. It's nice. Now, with all that being said, people all over this world, this time of year, they're going to, in some degree, they're thinking about our dear Savior's birth. That's what everybody's thinking about. People sing songs about it. Radio stations give themselves to it for a whole month. A whole month they give themselves to, O Holy Night. The stars are brightly shining. It is the dawn of our dear Savior's birth. One of the greatest events that has ever taken place in humanity. I believe 7 great events have happened to humanity. Our Lord's birth, His life, His death, His victory in that death, everything He accomplished in that death, His resurrection, His ascension, His return. 7 great events have happened to humanity. So I love this time of year. I really do. I love it. I love any opportunity we can have to dwell on any or all of those 7 things. This morning I want us to look at Christ by highest heaven adored. Christ the everlasting Lord. Veiled in flesh, the Godhead see. Hail the incarnate deity. Pleased as man with men to dwell, Jesus our Emmanuel. That's who I want us to look at this morning. And I want us to see all of this, everything that God has done, that mystery we just read about. I want us to see every bit of that through the eyes of the angels. I want to see it from the point of view of God's servants, the one who have been with Him since the beginning. The angels that God made doing His bidding ever since He made them. The ones who have been announcing to us the will and the purpose of God, the work of God Almighty. He has been using them. He has been telling them. He has been teaching them. And as all these things have unfolded so far, I want us to see it through their eyes. Everything that's happened, I want to see it through their eyes. All right, let's start by turning to Psalm 103. Psalm 103, verse 20 says, Bless the Lord, ye His angels, that excel in strength, that do His commandments, hearkening unto the voice of His Word. You know what that means? That means they're believers. That's what it means. They're believers. Obedient servants that do His commandments, hearkening to the voice of His Word. They're followers of Christ. That's what they are. Paul called them elect angels. That's what he told Timothy. They're elect angels, and they believe God. They do. They believe God. We know they believe God because every angel that did not believe God, Lucifer and all those with him, God cast every one of them out of heaven as a bolt of lightning. That was because they did not believe God. So all the angels who are there believe God. And they've heard His Word from the beginning. They've been listening to Him from the beginning. Go with me to Genesis chapter 18. When Adam and Eve sinned, the angels saw our Lord kill a lamb to cover them. They saw from our Lord what it would take to pay the debt of sin, a bloody sacrifice. We know the angels existed because Lucifer is the one who deceived Eve. So they saw this. They saw our Lord teach this, preach this. And the angels heard the Lord tell the serpent, tell the enemy about the woman's seed. Isn't that what he said in Genesis, first part of Genesis? The woman's seed that would bruise his head. The Lord told that serpent that directly. He's going to bruise your head. So they knew a Redeemer's coming. A Redeemer's coming. Now look at Genesis 18, verse 1 says, "And the Lord appeared unto Abraham in the plains of Mamre, and he sat in the tent door in the heat of the day. And he lifted up his eyes and looked, and lo, three men stood by him." Three. "And when he saw them, he ran to meet them from the tent door, and bowed himself toward the ground and said, 'My Lord, if now I have found favor in thy sight, pass not away, I pray thee, from thy servant.'" Our Lord took two angels with him to witness this. Three men went. Two angels went with him. Verse 9 says, "And they said unto Abraham, 'Where is Sarah thy wife?' And he said, 'Behold, in the tent.' And he said, 'I will certainly return unto thee according to the time of life. And lo, Sarah thy wife shall have a son.' And Sarah heard it in the tent door which was behind him." Sarah's going to have a son. Our Lord came. He brought two angels to witness to Abraham. "You're going to have a son." Verse 16. "And the men rose up from thence and looked toward Sodom. And Abraham went with them to bring them on the way. And the Lord said, 'Shall I hide from Abraham that thing which I do? Seeing that Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him.'" Now, is he just talking about Isaac? He came to announce, "Abraham, you're going to have a son, and all nations of the earth are going to be blessed through you and this son." Is he just talking about Isaac? He's talking about Abraham's seed. Galatians says, which is Christ. He's talking about Jesus Christ. He's talking about himself. That's what he's telling Abraham about himself. The angels knew this. The angels knew who would come. The angels knew when he would come. They knew when he would come. Now, no man knows when our Lord is going to return. The scripture says, not even the angels. No man knows. but they knew when he would come, when this Messiah would come and redeem his people. Turn with me over to Daniel chapter 9. Daniel is weeping and praying to God for the sins of his people right here. His own sin, the sin of Israel. He's crying, Lord, redeem us. Lord, help us. Forgive us. Look at verse 19. Daniel 9, verse 19. He said, O Lord, hear. O Lord, forgive. O Lord, hearken and do. Defer not for thine own sake. O my God, for the city and thy people are called by thy name. Daniel said, and while I was speaking and praying and confessing my sin and the sin of my people Israel, and presenting my supplication before the Lord my God for the holy mountain of my God, yea, while I was speaking in prayer, even the man Gabriel, the angel Gabriel, whom I had seen in the vision at the beginning, being caused to fly swiftly, touched me about the time of the evening oblation. And he informed me and talked with me and said, O Daniel, I am now come forth to give thee skill and understanding. At the beginning of thy supplications, the commandment came forth. That's always been one of my favorite lines in the scripture. He said, we were all up in glory, watching you. And as soon as you started crying to God on behalf of your sin and the sin of God's people, God Almighty looked over from his throne and said, go. Verse 23, at the beginning of thy supplications, the commandment came forth, and I am come to show thee, for thou art greatly beloved. Therefore, understand the matter and consider the vision. 70 weeks are determined upon thy people and upon thy holy city to finish the transgression and to make an end of sins and to make reconciliation for iniquity and to bring in everlasting righteousness and to seal up the vision and prophecy and to anoint the most holy. Know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the commandment to restore and to build Jerusalem unto the Messiah the Prince shall be 7 weeks and 62 weeks, and the street shall be built again, and the wall even in troublous times. And after 62 weeks shall Messiah be cut off, but not for himself. And the people of the prince that shall come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary. And the end thereof shall be with a flood. And unto the end of the war, desolations are determined. And he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week. And in the midst of the week, he shall cause the sacrifice and the oblation to cease. And for the overspreading of abominations, he shall make it desolate, even until the consummation. And that determined shall be poured upon the desolate. Sounds like he knows what he's talking about, doesn't it? I never knew what he was talking about. Not until a preacher preached it to me. But it sounds like he knows exactly what he's talking about. It sounds like God has taught him something. It sounds like he believes God. 70 weeks, a week is 7 years. And 70 weeks is 490 years. And that's how long it was from the commandment to rebuild Jerusalem to Christ. It was 490 years. He told him exactly when Messiah would come to make reconciliation for iniquity. That was Gabriel the angel. So he knew exactly when the Messiah was coming. Gabriel the angel. 490 years later, turn with me to Luke chapter 1. 490 years later. Luke chapter 1, look at verse 19. And the angel answering said unto him, I am Gabriel. Same angel. That stand in the presence of God. My position, my job is to stand in the presence of God and look at Him and wait on His commandment. And am sent to speak unto thee and to show thee these glad tidings. He was talking to John the Baptist's father right there, Zacharias. He said, you're going to have a son. And you're going to prepare the way of the Lord. That son is going to prepare the way of the Lord. Just like Isaiah 40 said he would. Just like Isaiah 40 said he would. And then in verse 26, in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and bring forth a son, and shalt call his name Jesus. Mary, as a virgin, you're going to bring forth a son, and you're going to call his name Jesus, Savior, Emmanuel, God with us, just like Isaiah 7 said you would. You're going to. It's going to happen. Do you think Gabriel believes God? He's a good messenger, isn't he? He's a faithful messenger, isn't he? Do you think after 4,000 years of standing at God's throne, hearing over and over and over why Messiah will come, do you think there's any doubt in his mind or any of the other angels' mind what is taking place here? Verse 32, he said, Mary, he shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. He shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. No end. Luke chapter 2, verse 6 says, And so it was, just like he said, and so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord showed round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. As soon as that declaration went forth, the Christ is born. As soon as that declaration went forth, the heavenly host appeared. And Michael the archangel said, Sing, choirs of angels. This is what we've been waiting on. This is what we've been announcing to everybody. All of our missions were for this moment right here. I cannot imagine what that moment sounded like. These shepherds out in the field, nobody else around, but some sheep. And all of a sudden they look up and here's an angel telling them the Christ is born. And all of a sudden, and they heard glory to God in the highest. I've heard some beautiful music in my life, but I tell you this, ear hath not heard. Ear hath not heard what the choirs of angels sound like praising God. Hail the heaven-born Prince of Peace. Hail the Son of Righteousness. Light and life to all He brings, risen with healing in His wings. Mild He lays His glory by. They knew that. They'd been announcing it for 4,000 years. He just laid His glory by. Born that man no more may die. Born to raise the sons of earth. Born to give them second birth. Hark the herald angels sing. Glory to the newborn King. Glory to God in the highest. On earth, peace, goodwill toward men. Now turn with me to Matthew 28. When the time came and our Lord paid the debt for the sin of His people. He was born, He lived, and when He offered Himself a living sacrifice and gave up the ghost, the Scripture says there was silence in heaven for the space of about a half an hour. Not one angel said a word. The seraphims that cry holy, they've been crying holy, holy, holy since the day they were created. They will for all eternity and it'll never grow old to us. We'll sit there and listen to holy, holy, holy. And there was silence in heaven for the space of a half an hour. They knew what was taking place. They knew how holy it was. How holy it was. Matthew 28 verse 1 says, in the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to the sepulcher. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. The other gospel says there was two of them. Those angels, while our Lord was laying there in that tomb, God the Father from the throne said, you go down and you roll that stone away from that tomb. And they did, and then they sat on it. And they watched the Lord of glory. They sat there and they watched the Lord of glory walk out. What an honor those two angels received to be right there. When the victorious King of Kings and Lord of Lords left the battlefield. That's what He was doing. He left the battlefield. I can imagine our Lord looking at them. He acknowledged them. They were His angels. I can imagine Him walking out, looking them right in the eye, saying, it is finished. The battle is over. It is finished. There'll be no more war. It is finished. The end of all conflict. It is finished. Those angels cried, Jesus is Lord. He is Lord. He is Lord. He is risen from the grave and He is Lord. Every knee shall bow, every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Now go with me to Acts chapter 1. king's work is finished. And he ascends back up to his father. Acts chapter 1 verse 9 says, "And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up." Can you imagine that? "Behold, two men stood by them in white apparel." Those are angels. "Which also said, Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as you have seen him go into heaven." You think they know what they're talking about? He is going to come back down exactly like you have just watched him go up. They know he is coming back. We're all waiting for it. We are all waiting for it, us and the angels. When he comes back, I've slashed them for time. I found five scriptures that said when he comes back, he's bringing all the angels with him. And one scripture said it's an innumerable number. How is there enough sky for that? Go with me to 1 Thessalonians 4. First Thessalonians 4, look at verse 16. "For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God." Michael is the archangel. Michael knows right now, and the trumpeters know right now, that they will be playing. They will be blasting with every fiber of their being when the Lord returns. They know that. They can read it. No one knows when his return will be. Not even the angels in heaven. They don't know, so they're on standby. It could happen at any minute. Michael is constantly asking them, "Are your trumpets ready? Ready." They're always on standby. Ready. As soon as he gives that command, you're going to blow that horn. If God has told us to watch and wait, isn't that what he said? It's going to happen that fast. You watch. You stand there and watch. Be ready. If God has told us to do that, what do you think the angels are doing? They're watching. They're waiting. They're ready. Are you ready? I'm ready. I'm ready. At any moment, that command is going to come. Michael, it's time. Blow your horn. God is descending. And the scripture says, all the angels are coming with him. We're empty in heaven. Let's go. An innumerable number of people and angels. Twice as many as we even thought. I thought I couldn't count the people. Until that time comes, everybody's on standby right now. We're all on standby this morning. We're on standby. The angels in heaven are on. Everybody's on standby. There's one great event for humanity that still has to happen. Everybody's on standby. And until that moment comes, God's word says he has stationed his angels with his elect. Lot, God sent his angels. Those angels said, "You have to come out. We cannot do anything until you come out. You have to be safe. Elijah, that servant, went outside and their enemy was standing there, and he ran back in and said, Elijah, what are we going to do? And Elijah said, Lord, open his eyes that he may see. He looked out the window and all the mountains were covered with angels and chariots of fire. He had his angels with him. Peter, Paul, Silas, how many times did he deliver those men out of prison? And God sent his angels. And they're not in prison anymore. It's the same way for us. He said, I'm the Lord. I change not. All our days are safe. And when the time comes for each of God's elect to see Christ, some point along the way, when Christ is finally revealed to them, the scripture says, all the angels in heaven erupt with joy every single time a sinner repents. Now let's close with Revelation 5. Go with me over to Revelation 5. Verse 11 says, and I beheld, and I heard the voice of many angels round about the throne, and the beast, and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands and thousands, saying with a loud voice, worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. Hark, the herald angels sing. And every creature which is in heaven and on earth and under the earth and such as are in the sea and all that are in them heard I saying, blessing and honor and glory and power be unto him that sitteth upon the throne and unto the Lamb forever and ever. And the four beasts said, Amen. And the 24 elders fell down and worshipped him that liveth forever and ever. We're going to be right there with them. They're going to be right there with us. We're all going to be worshiping God. That's what we're going to do for all eternity. Worshiping God, crying glory to the King. Glory to God in the highest. That sounds like a wonderful eternity, doesn't it? All right, let's stand together.